Hello everyone, Neil Patel here. Thank you for downloading the latest episode of the Indian Startup Show. And today I speak to Piyush and Khushbu Jain. They are the co-founders of Impact Guru. It's a tech for good platform that provides complete crowdfunding solutions to empower people raising funds for medical emergencies and social causes. Talk about how they got started and overcoming obstacles. Both share great crowdfunding stories. And they also talk about the qualities you need to get your startup off the ground. And they also give great advice on what to say to investors. Talk about leadership styles and business models. And finally, some important marriage advice. So please enjoy the show. Thank you. Hello, guys. Thank you for coming on the Indian Startup Show today.
Thank you for
having us.
Excellent. Please tell our listeners what you're building.
So we're in the business of online crowdfunding. Essentially, it is a platform that provides free money to people. Mm-hmm. So a perfect use case would be somebody who's going through a medical emergency and does not have enough savings to pay for the treatment, doesn't have medical insurance, not able to get medical loans instantly. They come to our platform, impactguru.com. They start a fundraiser page and they raise money. So far we have been able to raise money for more than 10,000 people, organizations, individuals included. And with the help of our partners, we have raised about $19 million already in the past 4 years of time. So yeah, that's what we do. Excellent. We give free money to people.
Excellent. And where did you get the idea from? What was the initial light bulb moment?
So when I was a student at Harvard University, I was very curious about exploring new ways to finance social as well as entrepreneurial ventures. During that research, I came across crowdfunding models in the US, platforms like Kickstarter and Indiegogo, which were scaling very well. And I realized that this model was very interesting, given India's large population, smartphone penetration. If it could be tweaked a little bit for a social purpose, perhaps it could really scale. And so that was really the beginning of working on this idea, which translated into me doing my graduate thesis at Harvard and getting incubated at the startup incubator there. And then we kept on pivoting and building on the idea from there.
And can you share some stats? Obviously, you've raised $19 million. How many campaigns have you raised, and etc.?
Yeah, so this money has been raised from about 30,000 campaigns.
Wow.
And in total, about 100,000 donors, but primarily most of the growth coming in the last 4 years. And you know what's very interesting about us, given that there's a very large international audience listening to this podcast, is we are the only platform in the world that can offer US, UK, and Indian tax benefits to donors on the exact same platform. And particularly for a platform that's focused on India, given the very large Indian diaspora present in the US and UK, that's a very significant differentiating factor, because Indian people globally like to give back to their country. And I know that since both Khushbu and I have lived in various countries around the world, including US, UK, Southeast Asia. And that passion of giving back is something that is very constantly on our mind. And so that's why we are the best platform for Indian diaspora around the world.
So you got some great stats there. Is that what you expected when you first started?
I think when we started, it was primarily just a passion to give back to our country, having lived for more than a decade abroad. I think as we got deeper and deeper into execution, we realized that there was a really significant market opportunity for us to not just help people, but also create a long-term, sustainable and profitable business. So I think we are very glad that we've been able to get some really fantastic investors on board, including VC funds, health tech funds, fintech funds, as well as large healthcare groups to back us in this journey.
Yeah.
Excellent. What were the early days like? Was there any obstacles?
So as with any startup, yes, initial days are full of you know, interesting and challenging experiences, and we had our share of those too. I think the first challenge was, you know, educating people about the idea of crowdfunding, because it's a very new concept. It's only recently that it started to become more mainstream. Back in the day, this was a very, very foreign, very Western concept, which Indians were not very familiar with. So educating people before persuading them to use the platform was key. And that came, and that definitely required interesting ways, you know, in terms of making this a simpler idea for them to understand and comprehend. Number two, again, finding the right people to be on our team. You know, at the start of the business, because you haven't really proved anything, all you have really is your vision and passion, you know. It becomes a little difficult to bring the right people on board. You know, eventually we got lucky and we have a great team now of more than, you know, 55 people. And I think the third challenge was finding the product market fit. So at the very beginning, we thought that, you know, crowdfunding is doing so well in the West. It's doing so well in UK and the US. You know, if we were to simply copy paste the idea in India, it might work really well. But then we realized over time that it needed to be tweaked, as Piyush mentioned earlier. It needed to be customized for the Indian mindset, Indian audiences. And today, the kind of crowdfunding we do in India is very, very different from, you know, what people across the world are used to. I think these were some of the challenges. But then along with that, there's been a huge learning curve as well for us.
And when did you think this was going to be a success then? You mentioned product market fit.
I think getting support from customers and getting their buy-in. I think our first success story was raising about 10 lakhs or just short of, I would say, $1,800 in about a week's time for a patient in Hyderabad for a kidney transplant. Mm-hmm. And I believe that happened in January 2017. Mm-hmm. I think that was the first moment of spark where we saw that our platform had tremendous potential and power to literally save lives, because such patients would not be able to raise this money without our platform. Mm-hmm. So I think that was one of our first success stories, and we really built on that and really delved deeper and deeper into healthcare crowdfunding. I think, you know, for entrepreneurs who are truly passionate, I mean, creating a business takes a lot of time. I mean, we've seen phenomenal success stories coming out of India, including Flipkart, which was a 10-year journey for the entrepreneurs. Of course, one of the co-founders is still there under Walmart. So it takes a long time for businesses to scale. Some scale faster than the others, but we are in this for the long run.
Yeah, so like Piyush mentioned, you know, it was only in January last year, which is 2017, that we realized that all of this machinery that we were building for over the years is now finally starting to sort of, we're able to complete that loop, that cycle, and we're able to execute, deliver finally, and make the difference that we intended to make. So that is when we realized that, okay, so now this product works, and then it became, then our goal was to scale it further, mm-hmm. because the product then started to work.
Sounds exciting. What excites you most then about what you're doing?
I think the power to actually save lives and be the option of last resort with regards to financing their medical bills. I think it's deeply satisfying that we've had tremendous amount of impact on the lives of literally more than 10,000 families over the last few years. And many of them have been so expressive in
and
terms
grateful,
of sharing
yeah.
the gratitude with the donors who've come across from more than 100 countries around the world to actually give them a chance to fight the battles with cancer or do a transplant surgery or any other very serious medical ailment.
And at the same time, having a platform that that donors can trust, because there's so many people across the world who are looking to give back, looking for the right kind of causes. They usually do not know where to give and how to give. And so to build a platform that donors across the world can come and trust and give back to. I mean, there are so many people, so many strangers donating on our platform to causes and to people they do not even know. Mm-hmm. That has been also very satisfying, along with helping the people in need also giving the right platform to people who want to help. So taking care of both the sides of the coin, I guess, would be, I would say, one of the initial achievements that we've been trying, we've managed. Yeah.
Actually, what has been the biggest donation then?
I think it was about 8 lakh Indian rupees, which is roughly 11,000 US dollars, just slightly more than that. Okay. And it was a very interesting story. It was a story of another healthcare case where a daughter was crowdfunding for her father at a Mumbai hospital. Mm. And this donor came across this story on social media. Mm. She's a HNI individual. Mm. And she said, she wrote to us saying that she was really moved by reading the story. Mm. And because this donor had lost her own father at an early age, mm. she said that she could not see another person suffering that. And so she decided to make such a large contribution that their entire fundraising goal was met with that contribution. And, after that, we built such a great relationship with her because of being completely transparent on the utilization of the funds that she's become a repeat donor on our platform.
And she's recently, in fact, she donated a similar amount to another campaign. And I'm so glad that we're able to, be the platform of choice for people like her.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So we must have a lot of listeners who are interested in doing their own crowdfunding campaigns. You guys being the experts, what tips can you give them?
Right.
Important stuff, right?
Yes, absolutely. So I think when we talk about donation crowdfunding, yeah. I think it's very important to realize that the amount of funds raised on any campaign is highly correlated to the amount of social media shares. Okay. So I think if you are planning to create a fundraising campaign, it's very important that you spread the word through WhatsApp, through Facebook, mm. not just a Facebook post, but also using Facebook Messenger to send individual messages to potential donors using emails. I think beyond that also, I think we're living in an era where video content significantly dominates people's attention. So just a text fundraising appeal is not enough. You really have to create a very attractive and catchy video to entertain, but to basically attract the attention of not just your direct social media connections, but also to be able to influence your first degree connections to be able to attract more donations from their own first and second degree connections. I think those would be some of the key tips that I could think of. Khushbu, would you like
to
add?
I think regular updates. So again, this would be an advice to all our campaigners that when you start a campaign, you owe it to your donors to give them updates, the transparency, what exactly happened with that money. So ImpactGuru our platform is designed for people to get regular reminders to update their donors, in terms of what has happened, because these are the people who, who've been so generous without knowing this person. Mm-hmm. And it's so important to give them that update. That's all they ask for, really. So I think updating them and closing the loop is very, very important, along with sharing your campaign as much as you can. Yeah.
So things are going really well. What would you say is the hardest bit about building this business?
I think trust. I think for every believer we have, there are also skeptics.
Yeah.
Who do not fully understand crowdfunding and how you are able to create a safe environment for donors to be giving to individuals. So I think building trust has been incredibly challenging, particularly in the early days. Mm. Because we have so many success stories and customer testimonials, it's become much better. It's become much easier. However, the reality is for crowdfunding to truly scale, mm. given India's large population and smartphone penetration, we need to have a lot more people to be coming forward and doing that. And therefore, in that context, we need to be much more innovative and creative in terms of getting people's attention to be giving to other individuals beyond giving to nonprofits. That's not been easy, but we are making progress on this every year.
And I think also it's a culture thing in India where people, attach asking for money to some kind of a stigma where, you know, they feel like they will get judged if they ask for money out openly on social media. People within their networks will probably outcast them, things like that. So I think helping them understand the benefits and the merits of crowdfunding versus the disadvantages has also been a little challenging, but people are slowly realizing that at the end of the day, if somebody is on their deathbed, it's important to somehow gather that money rather than thinking about, what people are going to think about them. So I think that has been a bit challenging. And another thing I'd like to add is expectations management. Mm-hmm. So like I said, still early stage, crowdfunding is at its nascent stage in India, and people have certain unrealistic expectations. They believe that they'll start a fundraiser, they'll start a campaign, and money will start to flow in automatically without any efforts. Mm-hmm. And that's not how crowdfunding works. A lot of hospitals, a lot of doctors, a lot of individuals that we meet, they say, our job is to start a fundraiser, I think it's your job as a platform to get us all that money. So that's not how crowdfunding works. So explaining to them their role has been a little challenging, but I think people are waking up to this idea and starting to use crowdfunding more effectively now.
What is the business model then? How do you make money out of this?
Yeah, so we charge a very nominal fee of 5% of funds raised in order to sustain all our operating costs. Of course, there are payment gateway transaction costs which are passed on. And so we charge this fee from all the funds raised, and we transfer the money directly into the hospitals or the nonprofits' mm-hmm. bank accounts so that there is no misuse of funds.
Mm-hmm. That's good. What's been the highlight so far in your time at Impact Guru? What's been the best thing?
I think every day we're able to save, a life when we know that, a surgery has happened successfully, a patient has recovered, definitely becomes a very, very important day and a very rewarding moment for us. One such moment comes to mind when recently one of our patients by the name of Naveen Naik went through a bone marrow transplant surgery thanks to the money they raised on a platform. And this patient, along with his family, came to our office to thank each one of us. And I think that was a very, very moving moment for all of us. And in fact, we recorded this video, which you probably might be able to see somewhere online. And I think that is definitely one of the most rewarding moments so far. This patient coming to our office after his surgery to thank us. I mean, what better gift than that for all of us as a team? Yeah.
Let's talk about you two guys then. Usually I ask how the co-founders met, but you're actually married, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool. And how's that working out as a married couple working on a business, 24/7, 365 days a week?
Yeah, so I think it's been a fantastic journey. We've been doing this for more than 4 years now. Okay. I think it has allowed us to have a greater understanding of each other's strengths, as well as our personalities. I think, the success of early stage startups is very highly dependent on, having a strong set of co-founders who have complementary skill sets. Mm-hmm. I think I am very lucky that Khushbu brings a completely different skill set to mine, which has allowed us to scale and to experiment in different ways as to whatever is necessary in order to create the kind of impact that we have. Mm-hmm. So I think there could not have been a better co-founder for Impact Guru from my standpoint.
Yeah, I think Piyush has answered this beautifully, I think, already. I echo his thoughts. Also, I think our goals in life are so aligned that it becomes so much easier when that, to then align our goals for the business and to to have each other's back, to have a very deep, because we have such a deep understanding of each other in personal life, it allows us to understand each other as co-founders as well. So I think that has been another plus for us.
I would just add that, you know, there have been a lot of skeptics of this, you know, including employees whom we had interviewed, including some investors whom we were pitching to, who seemed to absolutely detest the idea. But the reality is that we decided to ignore that and focus on execution and bringing high quality results. And as a consequence of that, we've really scaled phenomenally, recently raised a large investment round, which makes us the most well-funded crowdfunding company in Asia after China. So I think for those listeners who are also thinking about a similar journey, I think you need to focus on your passion and just execute. And that's the ultimate thing that matters the most.
Yeah, provided I think both the co-founders have similar career goals. I think as long as that is taken care of, I see no issues with husband and wife or, you know, couples being co-founders.
But how do you feel about, you know, you're doing a pitch into a VC, he turned you down?
I think startups require incredible amount of persistence. Yeah. So I think the only way to scale is to continuously learn as well as unlearn. So with every rejection that we have received, we ask people to give us feedback. What could we do better? Mm. And as a consequence of going through that process is where we have ultimately landed up today. So I think rejection and dealing with failure is a very integral component of being an entrepreneur. And I think it's very important for people to go through this journey, because the character that you develop after going through this experience makes you a better professional in business, but also makes you a better individual person.
Yeah.
Excellent. You must have done quite a few pitches then. Any tips on pitching for our listeners? You know, what should say, what you shouldn't say?
Yes, I think, I have probably pitched maybe more than 100 times now to different types of investors in different cities, in tier one cities, tier two cities, as well as in international markets. So I think if I had to summarize some of my key learnings, I think the first thing is practice. A lot of entrepreneurs do not realize when they're pitching to investors that they are you're talking to a stranger who's completely clueless about your business. Mm. And you need to figure out the most effective way of summarizing what it is that you're doing to a complete stranger who does not talk your own business language every single day. Mm. So I think practicing in front of other people helps you basically polish the rough areas. Secondly, I think it's very important to customize the pitch. I think when you're pitching to a VC versus when you're pitching to a H&I angel investor versus when you're pitching to a large publicly listed venture, you need to understand what are the different motivations of people who are investing in the venture and be able to speak to the kind of things that are most relevant to them within your venture. And I think a lot of people go with a very standard pitch to every single investor, which is often not effective. I think the third thing is to often be very, very sharp and nuanced in terms of the Q&A, because often that's what separates the boys from the men in terms of your conviction, in terms of answering very difficult questions with regards to your scalability, your profitability, and why you should exist versus some of the other options that are there out in the market. And so the conviction of your answers often gives the confidence to various investors to back you over someone else. And so that happens when you really believe in your business. I think those would be some of my key highlights.
Excellent. Okay. Actually, you just mentioned Harvard before. What was that like?
Yes, I was very privileged to study at the John F. Kennedy School of Government at Harvard University. It was a master's in public policy program. I think, you know, it was a very enlightening experience to be able to, you know, study with colleagues from maybe 70, 80 countries around the world to take various classes and to be able to work on real world problems. I mean, for me personally, my grad school experience was a lot more about developing my soft skills. So I spent a lot of time taking classes such as leadership, negotiations, persuasion, public speaking. as opposed to the standard, you know, highly academic public policy curriculum-based programs. I think it was a fantastic experience. I can tell you one specific moment which did have a significant impact for me. There was a class called How to Become a Public Figure. And in this class, the professor ended this class saying, a lot of you might think that coming to Harvard University is a privilege, which is true. But the reality is that what you do with the academics, what you do with the learning that you have here, and how you impact other people is ultimately the privilege that you have now, which a lot of other people do not. So to make sure to not forget that and to make a serious difference in your life.
Yeah, I guess it's also responsibility along with the privilege is what I was trying to say. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Kushbu, what's your background then?
So I went to, I have a degree in, you know, business administration, a master's in business administration with a specialization in marketing. And then I also went to Parsons in New York to study fashion marketing. So my background is luxury and, you know, lifestyle goods. I've worked with Manish Malhotra, who's a very, very prolific designer based out of India. I've also worked with Suzanne Roshan, Malaika Arora, and Bipasha Bas, whose label called The Label Life in the past, basically in fashion merchandising. And then I also was working with labels like Hackett, La Martina, some of the popular luxury labels back in Singapore, where I helped the marketing team launch these brands in Singapore. So that's what that was my background before, starting up.
And is this your first startup then?
Yes, yes.
So both of you, you know, what is the key takeaway from, you know, what have you learned from your first startup or doing your first startup?
I think the number one quality that helps is persistence. Startups require an incredible amount of flexibility with regards to business model, approach, industry, operational practices, etc. But nothing gets you further than persistence in the face of competition, in the face of challenges, in the face of problems that you're facing. So I think persistence is the key thing.
Yeah, and to add to that, I would say, you know, ability to be agile, flexible. I wouldn't recommend, it's very easy to get attached to your idea because it's your first idea, you're starting up and, you know, you don't want to move away from it. But it's very important to realize in early days to get a sense for whether this product will work, your service will work or not, and to pivot very quickly because the last thing you want to do as an entrepreneur is be selling a wrong product and then, you know, lose out, waste a lot of your time. So pivoting is key, I would say. We've also had, you know, so right at the beginning, we were focusing so much more on nonprofits, which was great, but we realized that market will take time to build. And on the other hand, we had the healthcare space, which, you know, we tried our hands at, we ran a few experiments and we realized that this works and is a more evolved market as of today. So the idea, so then it became more about healthcare. Of course, we still service a lot of nonprofits, but healthcare quickly became the reason why we grew so fast. So yeah, agility is something I would add to what Peer said, which is persistence.
Excellent. So when you both like quit your jobs to do this, you know, what were the thoughts of your friends and families then when you told them that you were going to do this startup?
I can talk about myself. They thought I was crazy to leave behind a rewarding a career in management consulting and investment banking abroad to move back to India. But I was determined. I was equally determined to prove them wrong.
Yeah. Some of my friends thought that, while we were crazy, we were also brave, and it required a lot of courage to leave behind all of those things, to leave behind a comfortable life and to come back and bootstrap, start out from scratch, you know, put all of our savings into something which may not have brought us returns. So, but I think it also required so much courage. This is something we realize now. We were probably naive, and I'm glad we were naive enough to do that because had we not done that, then we wouldn't reach where we are today. So people did find it very surprising. People thought we were crazy, but then there were a bunch of people who also thought that we were very brave. And but I think we have no regrets. We're glad that we did what we did, and we have a long way to go. That's what we focus on.
No regrets. Excellent. So what's been the best advice you've received so far then?
Well, that's a tough one. I think the best piece of advice I got from one of my advisors early on is not to build a marginal business in the youth of our life. You know, a lot of people, you know, spend an incredible amount of time and passion creating businesses which do not create significant amount of shareholder value. So if you're doing this journey, make sure that it is big and it is worthwhile given the amount of effort that is put in, because there is a high opportunity cost associated with every business professional who is doing entrepreneurship. And so do it as long as it's scaling and it's going to create a very large opportunity, large value for all the shareholders. Without that, it does not make too much sense. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and for me, the best advice I have received was that it's so important to be a customer of your own product and service. Because if you can't be your own customer, if you cannot use your own product, then there's no point selling it to the others, because you'll never be able to sell it with conviction. And Piyush did mention earlier during the interview that conviction is key, even when you're talking to investors or you're talking to your customers. So it's so important to be your own customer.
And you mentioned team before. How would you describe your leadership style? You know, are you hands off, hands on? Who's in charge?
I think I'm a pretty hands on leader. Of course, you have to flex your leadership style with every individual. Mm-hmm. But I think it's very important. For early stage CEOs to be very, very hands-on with different parts of the business, to be able to have a good conversation with every single employee across the hierarchy to understand what is the value that they are adding and what are the signals that they are receiving from the market. So without being hands-on, that's not possible.
Yeah, just to give you a little trivia on Piyush. So Piyush has this, you know, he recently started something called Lunch with CEO. So every day, one employee in the team gets to have lunch with Piyush. And so that is the time he utilizes to get to know them better, understand them as people better, understand their goals better. And, you know, also, and that has helped us understand, you know, where they're coming from, why they behave the way they behave. It's really been very helpful, and maybe something I might start soon as well. Mm-hmm. So, now coming to my leadership style, I think I am a little more hands off compared to Piyush. I believe in giving people, because I work with a lot of creative people. I work with a lot of, I handle the design, the communications, the brand. So I'm working with a lot of creative people, and it's so important to give them their space to be able to perform well. At the same time, make sure that you're there when they need you. So I've realized for me, micromanaging doesn't work very well. Mm-hmm. Giving them the space is so important. And for that, what's also very important is to hire the right people, the people you can trust, you know, and allow them to have their own space within your company. So mine would be a little more hands-off, and I would like to say I'm a lot friendlier, and I get friendlier with my team because I think it's so important for them to feel that trust from me. So, yeah.
You have to do a lunch with the CEO then. how do you unwind? How do you switch off? This must be like full on. Any hobbies or interests?
Yeah, so I'm a very big football fan. I'm a big Real Madrid fan. Okay. I went to Ukraine to watch the Champions League final recently.
Oh, wow.
So glad I did, because it ended up being both Zidane and Ronaldo's last game.
Yeah, one of the great goals of all time as well.
Yeah, exactly. Beyond that, I love traveling. I've been more to more than 50 countries now around the world. It's a great way to relax.
For me, when I'm not working, I spend time on my blog. I run a lifestyle and fashion blog, which is very new, still taking baby steps. So that allows me to spend a lot of time with my hobbies, which is eating a lot of good food, cooking a lot of good food, and styling and fashion, things like that, because I do come from fashion background, and that's something I still like to keep in touch with. So those are some of the things I do when I'm not working.
What's your favorite food then?
Everything. but I'm very passionate about vegan food. So across the world, whenever we do travel, we like to support a lot of vegan restaurants, because I think, conserving the planet is something that's very close to my heart. And eating good food, I'm a big believer in plant-based lifestyle. So that's something I'm trying to constantly promote. So anything that's vegan, that's healthy, is what I like to eat. Yeah, yeah.
And you mentioned you went to 50 countries. What's the best country you've been to?
I think it's a tough one.
This is a very tough one.
I think recently we went to south of Italy.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think we went to Amalfi Coast and various other places.
We did some untouched parts of south of Italy, which are not very mainstream, such as Conversano and the whole Puglia region, which is beautiful, beautiful. Highly recommended for people who haven't visited that part already.
Do you have any heroes, any people you admire, any people you look up to?
So I am a big admirer of Oprah Winfrey.
Okay, yeah.
I think given the struggles she went through as a child, and how she turned this around for herself, and not just for herself, for so many other people across the world that she's made a difference in the lives of. So I'm a big fan of hers. And I also really like Ellen DeGeneres, because I think she's funny, smart, witty, and she's great. So these are two people I really look up to.
For me, it is, I really admire a lot of sports athletes. And for me, number one on that list is Formula One racing driver called Michael Schumacher.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I think he's still in coma, right?
Yes. Yeah. Unfortunate, but it still goes to show the kind of determination the guy has, that even when he had such a severe injury, he's fighting against all odds, even to date. Mm. To survive, and so many other people would probably not be able to even do that. So I really look up to him for his determination and his passion to excel every day and to really set new benchmarks for other people.
Mm-hmm. It seems you've done a lot of things in your life. Is there anything left to achieve now? You haven't done yet. You want to?
Yes, I have been dying to learn how to become a DJ.
Okay.
I would love to do that in Ibiza one day.
Oh, okay.
So trying to find time to do that pretty soon.
Okay.
Yeah, and I wish to someday do a triathlon.
All right.
Since I'm also somebody who is very passionate about fitness, I want to be able to... do a triathlon successfully. That's one of my goals. I think the other one is to become a raw vegan someday, given my passion, in terms of plant-based living. Yeah.
And what plans do you have for the future? Anything exciting you can tell us about?
Yeah, so I think in terms of crowdfunding, we continue to invest a lot in making our product more user-friendly, more intuitive, faster. So one of the things that we've been working on recently is a story builder,
okay,
which basically uses artificial intelligence to make it easy for people to customize their fundraising stories by using a lot of standard templates depending on the region, depending on the medical condition that they have. So we've been busy trying to enhance it because it has really helped our customers significantly.
Yeah, and the reason we decided to do to create a story builder is because a lot of people in our country, in India, are not very sophisticated crowd funders, and also a lot of them are not very articulate in terms of narrating their story to people, to strangers especially, who could be potential donors. We realized that was doing them a big disservice, not being able to tell their story effectively and in a compelling manner was an opportunity lost for these guys to raise the money they could. As a result, as Piyush said, we built a story builder, which is the only one of its kind that exists in the whole world. Simply by answering a few questions, you can build an emotional and a compelling story, for a cause that you're trying to raise funds for. So that's one. And the other is an Android app. Impact Guru is the only platform in India that has an Android app to make it. And the app basically helps our campaigners get live updates in terms of donations received, also helps them promote their campaign more effectively. And in future, of course, we're trying to make this app smarter and better, more intelligent.
What's been your favorite campaigns then? Or ones that you have, that have surprised you?
One of the campaigns was actually led by this cricketer, ex-cricketer called Virender Sehwag, if you've heard of him. Yeah, so he decided to back 20 athletes who want to participate in Olympics 2020. Now, these are people from, some of them are from very marginalized backgrounds. Yeah. And, besides cricket, I think all other sports in India are very, very neglected. Mm. So these guys do not get the training they deserve, the nutrition they deserve. And by the time they get enough money, it's too late for them to start training. I mean, they typically get funds from the government, I would say, a few months before the competition, which doesn't really help them. So back in 2017, Virender Sehwag started a crowdfunding campaign to help fund the training requirements, training and nutrition requirements of these 20 athletes. So that's one. And we're so glad he chose our platform to do that. And the other one would be, a campaign that Magic Bus Foundation started on our platform that involved a lot of celebrities, Bollywood celebrities, mm-hmm. coming together to support children from to support underprivileged children. They ended up playing a charity football match with a lot of other celebrities in Singapore, and the money that was raised as a result would be used for the children the Magic Bus Foundation supports for their education and better lives.
Nice.
Yeah. And I think Piyush has a favorite as well.
Yeah, so recently we raised about 51 lakh rupees, which is slightly less than 80,000 US dollars for a young girl who was suffering from a brain tumor. She was actually a resident, Indian resident in Australia, but in order to get their treatment, the whole family had to move to various countries, including Mexico. And we are so fortunate and privileged to have helped them raise this money. And, Rhea is actually doing very well. And that's been the most well-funded campaign in our history.
Yeah.
Excellent. So this platform, is it for Indian people then? For Indian causes then? Or is it for anyone?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So our platform is primarily for Indian individuals and organizations. However, in the past, we have also fundraised for various Southeast Asian organizations, because we were selected by the United Nations Women in Singapore to run a Pan-Asia project on women's safety, which was sponsored by MasterCard. And so we also allow some campaigns in Southeast Asia on a case-by-case basis. Primarily, our platform is for Indian.
But having said that, I think donors come from across the world on our platform. We've had donations from, I would say, more than 100 countries already. As you mentioned, we've had more than 100,000 donors in the past 4 years. So donors definitely come from across the world, while we focus on causes primarily from India, but then, yes, like you said, a little bit outside of India as well.
But how are you getting donors to the website? That's probably the most important bit of your business, right?
Yes, so I think it's a bunch of things. We've built a great brand on social media, which allows us to attract a lot of donors through Facebook, through WhatsApp, a lot through our PR. We've had some really fantastic coverage, including CNBC, Young Turks, Bloomberg, Times of India, Economic Times, various other very popular news media. And beyond that, many times the customers themselves bring their own donor base, particularly for healthcare cases or nonprofits when they go to their own friends and family and they ask them to donate. Mm-hmm. So it's a combination of strategies online and offline that help us acquire a very large donor.
Also word of mouth, like mm-hmm. you said, that definitely helps. Yeah.
If someone's listening and want to do what you do, you know, get into the crowdfunding space or tech for good space, what advice would you give them?
I think that crowdfunding in its very early days in India, crowdfunding is where e-commerce was back in 2008. And we can all see what was the phenomenal growth that was witnessed by that over the next 10 years. Yeah. And so crowdfunding requires a lot of people with great talent, great ideas who can innovate, who can solve problems on the ground. And if they are interested, they should reach out to us because crowdfunding requires people with all kinds of skill sets, whether you're a data analyst or you're a video expert or, you know, you are a product manager or you're a Salesforce specialist. So please reach out to us, log on to impactgrow.com and we'll be very happy to speak to you.
Yeah.
Excellent. And what advice would you give to, you know, married couples who are listening and thinking of doing a startup?
So I think when you're working together, it's important to not work together just because you're married. It's important to work together if your goals, your career goals and life goals are aligned. Also if you're, if you feel like, if you are very confident that you can bring complementary skill sets to the table, just like any other set of co-founders would, that is very, very important. It should be a very, very practical decision and not an emotional one, I would say.
Any marriage advice for our listeners? Generally,
I mean, it's important to. It might sound cliche, but I think it's so important to be friends, you know, and have that trust in each other, because I think that's the foundation for any relationship. So, ability to give each other the space at the same time is so important for long-term success of any relationship. Yeah.
Piyush is going a bit quiet now.
I think you these are topics where it's very difficult to do better than your wife. So
very smart. That is a very smart one.
Yeah, I think if I were to add on that, I think marriage is a very serious commitment. People should think long and hard about this. But when you do find the right person, I think then it becomes a lot easier. And so you should take this commitment if you decide it's the right step for your relationship to evolve. But it's perfectly fine for some people not to enter in a marriage too. Because there's a lot of pressure in society for people to get married by a certain age, but I do not believe that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, last question. If people want more information on Impact Guru, what must they do?
They must log on to impactguru.com and I think and they should visit our contact us page. They can get in touch with us. They, you know, email us, call us, send us messages on our Facebook page, we will definitely respond as quickly as we can.
Excellent. Thank you for coming on the Indian Startup Show today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Really enjoyed it. Thanks to Piyush and Kushboo for coming on the show today. If you want to donate, then go to impactguru.com. Thank you for supporting the podcast. I should be back next week. If you're building something exciting, please send me an email, hello@neilpatel.co, or tweet @IndianStartupSH, or you can go to facebook.com/IndianStartup Show. I would love to connect. Thank you and goodbye.